Good morning. You guys can come sit up front. There is more space up front. Let's set our hearts, let's set our minds to just to hear what the Spirit wants to say, what the Spirit wants to tell us, what He wants to us to understand today. So, and I really believe that the word that I'm gonna say, I really need God's grace on it, you know, because with the words you can kill and you can heal. So I understand the responsibility, and I just want us to ask Holy Spirit just to do His work, and the work that He wants to do today with us, because all of us, you know, we come in need, we need of Him. That's why we come here. We don't come here just for fun. We don't come here just to have a good time. We don't come, even though we do have a good time, but the main purpose, it's coming in worship. And worship is then when you come before Him, and you need Him. That's why we do all this. And we ask Him to transform us and keep transforming us, because, you know, on what I spoke last time, if any of you remember, I spoke of the top of Christianity, or like the pinnacle, or like the very top of what God wants to accomplish in us. And a lot of people, we don't really realize the enormity of God's love, or what He's trying to do. And even like the second song we were doing today, he won't relent until He have it all. You know? He won't relent until He has it all. And some of you guys going through hell just because of this. Because God wants to have it all. He's not gonna divide you with this world. He's not gonna do anything. Because when you said yes, you never realized that God was playing for keeps. You thought that maybe I'll just have fun with God for 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, and then I'll just gonna be like, oh, whatever. I'm not gonna pay attention to my heart. I'm just gonna do whatever I feel like doing. You know what? God's gonna use all the demons possible, whoever He has available, to bring you back to Him. Because like I said, He won't quit. He won't quit until He has you all. All. When you get to the bottom of yourself and you're gonna cry out, God, you're all I need and you're all I want here on earth and in heaven. That's the goal. So I want us to be serious about Christianity, guys. Serious. This is no, you know, we're not valuing what God been doing in your life, or what God been doing through you, that we sometimes just give up on stuff, or like we treat things like this is like nothing. You know, sometimes I even afraid to even step here, because I understand the responsibility and the weight of what God is doing in this place. And some of us can just like treat it like it's like nothing. And that's why we're powerless. That's why we don't have, you know, what it takes. So maybe today the word's gonna be a little rough, but you know why it's gonna be rough? You know, when you go to the doctor, do you want him to tell you the truth about your health? Or do you want him to come, oh, you know what, Max? Well, I see you have cancer, but it's okay, you know. It's let me just you know, here is something, you know, like that you can like enjoy maybe like a couple days of your life. No, when you come to the doctor and when he runs the test and he sees something so bad, your life dramatically changes. Your life changes, like you stop doing what you were doing. You know, people who've been like struggling to quit smoking, when they come to the doctor and they say, hey, you have a lung cancer. Look what happens with him, like this, freedom. Without even like nobody prayed, nobody laid hands. He's been going through all these like ministries to try to like cast out whatever that spirit is. But as soon as the doctor told him what is, he quits right there. Because he realized how serious it is. So a lot of times, I want us to understand that we all come to God. We all gather here. We all come to be changed. Or in other words, we all come to be healed. Well, I need to be healed. And I do go through these problems. I have people, or like God speaking through people who tell me, you know, what needs to be changed, what needs to be done. So that's why I'm telling you, I really need the grace of God. Otherwise, it can go bad. The topic that I called, that I named my sermon today, I called it Community Killer. Community Killer. I'm going to speak about the culture of the church. I'm going to speak about the culture, like the counterculture of the church towards the world. Because, you know, I kind of touched on it a little bit last time. You know that the world of what we call this world, or the spirit of this world, we call this the culture of this world. You know, it has its own culture. And it goes wherever it's going to go. You're going to either go with it or you can go against it. And so a lot of times, you know, the church in majority, and I'll be pretty bold about it, the church in majority created a subculture, not a counterculture, a subculture. You know what subculture is? It's like a little culture within the big culture. You know, like, let's say if we're going to talk about, recently there was like, you know, let's say Black Lives Matter, all this kind of movement. You know, that's a subculture, but they're still driven by the same motives, by the same spirit, by the same thing. So they're trying to like accomplish something, but they're in the same boat. And so in majority, the church is like in the same boat with this world. You know, we created the subculture. We created like, oh, we want to worship God. We want to do this, or we want to do this. But still, the motives of the heart are still the same. We still want to be the best. We still want to be the highest. We still want to be the knowest. We still want to be the smartest. You know, we're still driven by the same, like, spirit. We're not driven by the Holy Spirit, because if we're going to look into the culture of Christianity, that's a counterculture. This is something that goes against. You know what? Counter, it's not like, oh, you know, you, okay, but we're here, but we're kind of together. No, counterculture, it's completely the opposite. So this is kind of in general what I want to talk about it. And I want us to realize that today, I'll kind of look at it. I'm going to draw a line. And what I see, the way this world is driven, I called it the culture of pride. The culture of pride. And what I'm saying, the culture of pride versus the culture of grace. So this is kind of like the two things that I'm going to be talking. I'm going to be talking about pride, and I'm going to be talking about humility. So these two things, and I want you guys, when you're going to be listening, I want you to pay attention, because Holy Spirit is going to be talking to you. Holy Spirit is going to be showing some things in your life, and you better, I don't know, take notes in your head, or take, because, you know, the way to the heart is always through the mind. You can cry to God, change my heart, give me a new heart, but unless your mind gets renewed, unless you actually listen to the Word of God, unless you actually start reading the Word of God, and then your mind starts, something starts happening with you, and then how your heart is being changed. I want, this is very, do you guys even, okay, let's do this. Let's do like, whom, for who, the Word of God, and I'm talking about the Bible right now, the Word of God is the total authority in your life. For whom? I'll wait for the translation. Maybe it's a lagging. The Word of God, is it a total authority in your life or no? That's a question. Because if it's not, then for me, you don't need to even to listen, because I'm taking the Word of God as the truth, you know? And I preach from the Word of God. That's why my life became a lot easier, because when I struggled with preaching, because I was trying to preach from myself. I was always trying to find something that I can preach on, like maybe some kind of experience. But you know, when you have to preach every week, I mean, there is no way you go through stuff, you know, within a week that you can actually preach on it. I understand if you preach only like once in 6 months, you can give like a testimony, something that actually, you know, that God led you through and revealed to you, and then you share it. But that's still, it's your own like testimony. It's good. But for me, my life, God made my life so much easier when He told me, you need to preach the Word. This is the power. This is what's gonna change people. Not my experiences, not my advices, not my things. Do this. I know, because I went through this. Doesn't work. People still do. You tell them and they still do this stupid stuff again and again. Even you told them, I did it, don't do it, and they still go and do it. So that means it's helpless. But the Word of God. So that's why I asked this question. If the Word of God is the total authority in your life, then you're going to hear something today. If not, if you're still basing your beliefs on your revelations or on somebody else's revelations or on just things, you won't go far. I'll tell you this. You will go as far, but then at the same time, you'll have to come back, and until you go deep. Deep, I'm telling you, until you start eating this book, until it starts, you know, actually these words go inside and they just start transforming you, then we're going to be, you know, you're going to smile at me, say amen, amen, and you're going to turn around and go home unchanged. But if you take God's word seriously, then you have, I would say, you'll have a bright future. You actually gonna be, your life's gonna be so much better, so much easier, I would say. So I'm gonna talk about church as a counterculture towards the world, not the subculture, not something that was created with this world. I'm telling you guys, we need to realize, and I pray that someday God will reveal to you His kingdom and like what's going on in the world and how He rules this world. And you will realize where is the evil and where is not. Because everything is so gray area. Everything is so we eating all of this junk that they're feeding us. And then we're confused. But once you see the kingdom of God, once you see what's going on in this world, how He does it, see your life. That's what I call born again. Born again, born again. When you open your Bible and you read it, and it's, you know what's the difference between a person who reads the Bible who was not born again and who was born again? You want to know the difference? Maybe you'll know the difference. Maybe you're not born again. Maybe you're just sitting here and because your parents told you to be here. Maybe you're going to church because you think it's a good thing to do. But until you will not be born again, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. You know how you can tell the difference? When you, and it's an example. I'm not saying that this is exactly how you need to check, and if not, then this is just an example. You know, right now, you can be sitting here and listening everything in audio. You can read the Bible, and you can only hear it. You read, and it's only in audio. Born again, the difference. You open the Bible, and it's video. Right now, you hear my words in video, not audio. You actually see what he's talking about. You actually see, you know? That's what happens. Your Christian life, your walk with God, the things of God, they become reality. They become real. It's not just words. It's not just, oh, I read today this, I read today this. Or you can argue about it. You see. And that's, for me, that's when everything changes. When you, like I said, getting born again, everything, when somebody starts talking about God, it's video. You see. It's because every time, you know, and this is, I'm using this as an example just so you see. It's like, you know, and this is what's been proven. When you gonna be listening two things at the same time, you're gonna be listening to, let's say, a book on your phone, audio, and then you're gonna be at the same time watching, let's say, TV. Do you know that your attention is gonna be more on the video than on the audio? That's what happens. This is like I said, when you born again, the things about God, they pull you. When you hear somebody talking about God, you want to hear something new about Him. You don't want to just, oh, you know, go and like start like, you know, discussing or proving. You're listening because you, and that's what happens when He puts His Spirit in you. So, this culture of this world, what I'm talking about, what is it driven by? The culture driven, we want more. We want to be the strongest. We want to be the richest. We want to be the biggest. This is what I'm talking about, this world. This is what the whole humanity is driven by. It's driven to be number one, to be the best, to be on top. Because we, and then, you know, when you look, like I said, if you look at Christianity like sober, you know, without any kind of like presumptions or any kind of like, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You see, even in Christianity, there is a lot that we want to be the best. We want to be the most famous. We want to be, if something, like if somebody, you know, like oppresses our rights, we all of a sudden, you know, we lose our even like Christian mindset. We're already, you know, up in each other like throats and trying to prove that we are right. Christianity, but if you look at Christianity, they, you know what? They took the weakness. That's what, when Jesus came, it was the weak not wise people that were, you know, that actually hurt him. So they were not afraid to be like that. But in our time, who wants to be weak? Who wants to be a servant? Who wants to be the lowest? Who wants to be, you know, the lowest of the lowest? Who? See? And that's what I'm talking about. Two different cultures. Because culture that Jesus brought when he showed us, the example he showed us, it was not to be the best. It was not to be the strongest. He actually showed us how to be the weakest. But when you're weak, you're letting God to do works through you. You're letting God to do things in your life. So that's why we don't want to look, you know, weak or foolish in the eyes of the world. We want to be right there, standing with them on the platform, right there with the Satan himself, just standing there on the platform. And we wanted, you know, and then we ask why the problem's coming. So I prayed, you know, that Father gives us, you know, gives us courage to be weak in a sense. So we can endure, you know, this world and all this what's going on. And what I see, you know, it's that the root of it all lies pride. The bottom, if you're gonna be carefully looking at what's causing all of this, it's the pride of humanity. This is what, you know, this is you know who it's coming from, right? Remember who was the first one? And who got kicked out? Who? Lucifer. And so I kind of want to shoot at the root of the evil, because at the bottom of it all, it's all pride. And I noticed, do you know that right now it's what the month this world called? Pride month. Oh, I'm right, you know, on topic. Pride is the root, you know, of all evil, to my understanding. Pride is the reason why people don't forgive, why people don't obey God. And you know what I heard, and I'm still trying to find out. I heard, it was on our men's encounter. There's always Alex, when he's talking about this, he's telling that, you know, that pride is this like thing in you that your conscience will never like judge you. It will never tell you, hey, you have a problem with pride. I'm still trying to figure it out. To be honest with you, I don't really understand it, but he keeps saying that. And for some reason, he always uses this example that's like, you know what? Pride will never tell you that you have issue with pride. So I don't know, I'll just leave it at that. Maybe this is something that, you know, has to be like that. Maybe this is something that worth thinking about it and like how to deal with it. But we'll get to that. So today I want to read from the book of James. From the James, book of James, it's a New Testament. And James, if you know who, this was not one of the 12 apostles. This was actually, it was the brother of Jesus. As Jude, so James, the epistle of James, it's the brother of Jesus who did not believe in Jesus until resurrection of Jesus. So he's writing, so this guy's, I would think that he knows what he's talking about. He's seen Jesus grew with him, you know, he's seen everything. He didn't believe in him. And then after everything was done, So James, and looks like he's a pastor because he's writing to a community that is all over. It was like spread around like many areas. So he's writing the way he writes. It's like, you know, it's like you read the book of Proverbs, and it's like, you know, like if you don't do this, it's gonna be this. So there is like no kind of explanation, no like, you know, sugarcoating, just straight to the point. He just cuts it right there without like, you can't miss it. Because, you know, when Paul writes, Paul is like goes deep, you know, he's like a theologian, and he's going deep. He's trying to explain things. You actually have to kind of get into his head to understand what he's trying to say. But James, he's not picking words, I will tell you. And I wish, you know, if James would be here, I would love to sit in his company, you know, and hear him speak. Hear him, you know, preach. So, but before we go into chapter 4, I want you to read the introduction to the book of James. This like randomly, I read it this week. The introduction to the book of James by the, I'm reading the Message translation. It was translated by Eugene H. Peterson. So this is his introduction to the book of James. And I'm just going to read it. It's very short. So just listen to it. It's actually, he's kind of trying to open up this book so when a reader reads it, he kind of gives them like what's going on. So the introduction goes like this. When Christian believers gather in churches, everything that can go wrong sooner or later does. Outsiders, on observing this, conclude that there is nothing to the religious business except, perhaps, business and dishonest business at that. Insiders see it differently. Just as a hospital collects the sick under one roof and labels them as such, the church collects sinners. Many of the people outside the hospital are every bit as sick as the ones inside, but their illnesses are either undiagnosed or disguised. It's similar with sinners outside the church. So Christian churches are not, as a rule, model communities of good behavior. They are rather places where human misbehavior is brought out in the open, faced, and dealt with. The letter of James shows one of the church's early pastors skillfully going about his work of confronting, diagnosing, and dealing with areas of misbelief and misbehavior that had turned up in congregations, communities to his care. Deep and living wisdom is on display here. Wisdom both rare and essential. Wisdom is not primarily knowing the truth, although it certainly includes that, it is skill in living it. For what good is a truth if we don't know how to live it? What good is an intention if we can't sustain it? According to church traditions, James carried the nickname Old Camel Knees because of thick calluses built up on his knees from many years of determined prayer. The prayer is foundational to the wisdom. Prayer is always foundational to the wisdom. This is just a writer's kind of view of what's going on in this book. So, and I want us, you know, to understand this, what I just read, that a lot of times what I see as a pastor, the church, it's actually exactly what I just saw. Even though how good I want it to be, everything to be perfect. Every one of us to be perfect. Every one of us behave good. But this is actually the place when we come in the presence of God. And this is actually the place where it's gotta show you. It's like you come in to see a doctor. And he tells you what's wrong, what we need to do, what we not need to do. So I want you guys to understand what we're dealing with here. If we want to see God moving and God bringing people, He's not going to bring good people, I would say, quote unquote. They might be hiding the diseases. They might be acting like everything good. But every one of us still coming here, and where you, when I first come, it was how many years I was here, God still heals me, delivers me, saves me, changes me. I'm still coming here and getting on my knees in front of Him and say, Jesus, I need you. And I need you. It's not just a cliche that we just, you know, using it as a, you know, just kind of, do you really need Him? Do you? Because if you don't, man, because if you think that you, then maybe you're in the wrong place. Maybe you actually, you know, I don't know, maybe you already completely healed and restored and just ready, you know, to rock and roll. I don't know. But from my, you know, to be honest with you and just like knowing you all, I mean, maybe not all, most of you. I mean, we all see things. Come on. We all see who's dealing with what, who's struggling with what. But isn't it this is the only place where it should be allowed? Where it should be okay, where we actually be the ones who can pray for each other, help each other, support each other. Not in any sense, you know, like point, hey, this is your problem, get out of here. This is what religious churches do. They just want everybody like them. They want everybody looking the same. Yeah. And that's why we have a whole world full of people who've been in churches and hurt, because there was no environment, there was no place where you could actually let them be and let God, you know, deal and heal them, deliver, restore. And this is what I'm talking about, the church as a counterculture to this world. Because in this world, you know, they don't want the weakest. When they're hiring to get a job, they interview and they take the weakest, huh? The dumbest, huh? Yeah, the crippled one. No, they take the strongest one. They're looking at the best one. They say, no, these two, I don't even know why they applied. But do you see what's happening with the gospel, what Jesus did, what church is, you know? And I understand this is like, I'm not saying that, you know, whoever has business needs to go hire, you know, like who know what to do. I'm not talking about this. I'm just telling you that the culture, the motives, like what's driving this humanity. So let's go to chapter number 4. And I'm going to start from the chapter number 3, the last two verses 17 and 18. And I'm just going to, and I want to read this. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessing, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys result only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. And then starts chapter number 4. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? And James writes, think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. You spoiled children, each wanting your own way. So if you see what he's talking, he's talking about something that destroys community. He's talking about something that kills community. He said all these fightings, all these quarrels, all these things that go in inside, because, and he says it all starts because there is no peace inside of you. There is things on the inside. There is war inside of you. And then, you know, all this starting around you. Hold on, I just lost one thought. And why? Why would you think the community is so important? Because if we go to John, because I'm going to be talking on community, and I want us to understand why it's so important. It's not just, guys, it's not just about to get along, you know? It's not just about that. It's not just about to be, you know, like, oh, I like you, you like me, and now, you know, everything's cool. He's talking about actually getting along with people who are not like us, you know, who are different, who is like, you know, you don't want to be next to them. So why is it important? If you go to John chapter 17 and verses, this is the prayer of Jesus when he was praying for his disciples. Look, verses 20 to 23. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me. So he's talking about us who will believe in me. Because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them, look, to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So they might be one heart and mind with us. Then, look, why it's important. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. Do you see why it's important to be in unity? The world need to see that God, the Father, sent Jesus. So this is something that when we're not doing this, we basically witnessing to the world. We're not telling, because something's happened when there is unity, when there is love, when there is something. This is, you know, this is what the world will see. They will see him, not us. And look, so the same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are. I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. So that's why I'm hitting on the importance of unity, because this is what Jesus was praying for his disciples. Because he knew that that time's gonna come when they might disagree. The time's gonna come where, you know, and what I read in James, remember what he said, you want your way. This is the pride. When I want my way, you know, this is the world. When my way or no way. This is why the problems start, because I want it like this. And so you start the fight. Okay, I mean, are you guys like, am I communicating? Am I explaining it like in an understandable way? Because I'm trying really, really hard. Because this is topic, because I care, you know, about this community. And I, you know, some things we need to, because if the culture of the church is wrong, you can pray about revivals, about growth, about God, about this, useless. You can fast, you can, the only thing, I mean, maybe good's gonna be, maybe you actually encounter God and He's gonna change your heart. This is what's good, praying and fasting. But if we don't develop, and it takes all of us the culture, because if the culture is gonna be the culture of pride, it's me, me, me. We might as well just, you know, close the doors and go home. And, you know, but again, I know we're all growing, you know, and I see even like the how even like talking about this changes, like that's what I said. Open your mind and listen, you'll see how your heart's gonna change. Because I'm not telling you my opinions, my like, you know, what I think. I'm telling you what Jesus was praying, what it's all about. So as we read in James, it says, because you want your own way. The problem is, this is where the pride is. You want your own way. And look what he's continuing to say. Because fighting, you know, fighting kills community. Fighting. I listened to one book, and it's one guy who kind of studied the revivals in the past. And you know what killed revivals? Fighting. Because the revival started. God started to move, and then people started, I want this, I want to be on it too, I want to be famous too, I need to be a part of it too, and it killed revivals. Fighting. So every time when one of you decides to fight, and I'm not talking about fighting with fists, I would rather see that, maybe that actually maybe would fix the problem. Seriously. At least we'll see who is the strongest one. Who got humbled. But I'm talking about fighting, you know, what the fighting he's talking about. He's fighting within us. That you know, he's talking about something that, you know, when you start talking, you start, you know, and we're going to come to it, when you start slandering on your brother, on your sister, you start talking about this, you don't like this, you start pointing fingers, this is fighting. I thought maybe I hear amen, but it's okay. And look, what is fighting? What fighting does? What he's writing? You are cheating on God. If all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God in His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it, He is fiercely jealous lover, and what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It is common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud, and God gives grace to the willing humble. Do you see what's happening? When it goes me, you don't even realize, you know, that sometimes we experience the resistance. We even experience attacks. We even experience things that are, you know, something like we experiencing disorder. A lot, most, I mean, once the revelation of the kingdom of God gonna light up in your head, you'll see that a lot of times, most of the times, who resists you is God. A lot of times we getting used to casting out the devil, telling devil go, but he's not going. Or maybe you should start thinking about, maybe this is God that is trying to humble you, maybe he's trying to talk to you through suffering, through something that hurts. Because, you know, we, and that's what I see the problem in this area, in this time, I mean, age of Christianity, we only take good things from God. We're cutting off all the suffering. We're cutting off all the negativity. We're cutting it off. We say it's devil. But if you look at it, who God is, that if he is God, God of all, you tell me who is devil under? Or is he just running around and does his own thing, and God is like, man, I wish I could do something to this guy. I wish I could just grab him and just like, huh? I hope I'll be, maybe I'm talking with a little grown-up Christians that I know, maybe some of you, no, I'm still going to go and rebuke the devil. I'm still going to go and cast him out. Go. Why he's not leaving you? Why this sickness is still with you? Why this thing, this pain, this suffering is still with you? If this is the devil, the Word of God says, if you tell him, he's gone. Or maybe it's time to get on your knees and start crying out to God and say, God, maybe that's you. Maybe you're trying to talk to me. Maybe I'm so caught up with myself. Maybe I'm even, if you, the way you can discern if this is, like, oh, man, how can I put it right? Well, maybe we'll come back to it. So what he's saying, look, he's saying, you think God doesn't care? You think that if you going with the world's way, he's saying flirting with the world, you going just like the world, you still want to be the best, you still want to be in charge, you still want to be the smartest, you still want to be. And he's saying, you guys flirting with the world. But I place something in you. You were born again. I placed something in you. I placed my spirit. And he, the language James using, jealously loving, jealously pursuing. This is not like, okay, you know, like whatever. He'll come back. I know the future. He'll come back. No. That's why we need to understand the enormity of God's love towards us. That's what's gonna change. That's why sometimes things happen in our lives, because God loves you too much to lose you. And he'll use anybody, anything to bring you so you come back to him. Because pride, like, it's the thing that will never. The only way, I would say, this is the spirit that you can cast out of people. Have you ever seen pride being cast out? Have you ever seen spirit of pride? I mean, we talk about it, but in reality, no. Because then it would be something that would be done in you. This is the issue of the heart. This is this is like so deep in us that only God can free you, but we'll come to it and humble ourselves. We need to come to him and say, God, help me. I'm lost. I don't know what's going on. So God goes against. Remember, when we were driving, I remember how when Jesus stopped Saul, he says, Saul, Saul, why you persecute me? And he asked him a question. And then when Paul asked, who are you? He says, I'm Jesus. And Jesus telling me, is it hard for you to go against the pricks? Is it hard for you to go? So the way you can understand, if you go against, or God goes against you, if you actually, because you're supposed to have the Holy Spirit like a wind in your back, in your life. But if you struggling, if you have this resistance, and it's, you know, and the resistance I'm talking about, not sometimes, you know, when you pray and it comes on you and you intercede, you pray for something, you feel the spiritual battle, but I'm talking about in your life, if this is always telling you, maybe it's time to see a doctor with a capital D. Maybe it's time to come and like see if maybe he can like change or do something or check me. What is in my heart? And look, that, so let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. In other, quit double life. You know what double life, double-minded. Other translation, stop being double-minded. Double-minded, it's like when you know one thing, but doing the other thing. It's like another, one of the translations say, spiritual schizophrenic. When you like, you know, you know what needs to be done, but you actually do the opposite. It's a sickness, you know, it's a disease. This is what he's calling out. Double-minded. You know you need to forgive. You know, but at the same time you don't. Disease. You know that it needs to be unity, but you started with your own hands and start, you know, gossiping, start talking about others, start just like carelessly, like thinking like, man, we're dealing with God, people. And that's what some of your life becomes even more harder because somebody wants more God here. Somebody's like, man, wanna like fly, you know. Because with God is like wholehearted. You can't play these games. He's not gonna have it with us like that. He's not. Look what he's, so let God work his will in you. Do you know why the will is so important? Because the will of God, it's how God ordained things to be. It's like the principles, we can't break him. You can't, it's the way God made things to be. So if you're trying to manipulate them, if you think, oh, God just gonna, you know, I'm his favorite. He's not going to care about it. No. God cannot be mocked. What you sow is what you reap. You know, it's like this thing is... It's you. That's why it's important to understanding God's will and the way God made things to be. And then you obey. Then you do. And then your life just comes into harmony, your life goes smoothly. You don't struggle with it. You don't struggle. You live. I mean, that's what I believe Jesus came to give us, life. Even more, he says life, even like more life. Even not just life, but like life so good. So maybe we're doing things wrong. That's why maybe our lives don't line up with his will. So look, purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom. Cry your yes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Do you see the seriousness? He says, stop partying. Stop playing like, you know, stop. Just be real. If it's hard for you, be real, you know, stop. You know, we need to put our life on pause. Like if when stuff like this happens, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to, like, until God, I hear you, until you, like, I want to, because you know what's the worst punishment that can come? It's the separation from God. This is the worst of the worst of the worst. And like I said, if you someday, if you in His presence when you're worshiping, and if you, and I pray that it's you not, but if you don't feel that connection anymore, or maybe you never, you don't know why somebody is like, don't want to get up from his knees because, you know, face to face encounters with him, and you're just sitting there like this. Maybe you under the curse, maybe it is under the punishment, the separation of God, because you don't have this. He's like right next to you in a sense, but you don't feel him. You can't, you don't know, you can't open your mouth and say holy. You know, this is the worst of the worst punishment that ever a human being can get. It's the separation from God. The worst of the worst. And I pray that none of us will never experience that. That none of us, when we see red flags in our lives, we actually will be the ones who will get on our knees and we're going to start crying out to God and say, God, I don't want to play these games. I don't want to be this double-minded. I don't want to be this double-souled. This, you know, like saying, believing one thing, but actually doing. That's why he says, clean your dirty hands in worship. Hands symbolizing our deeds, dirty deeds, dirty things that we do to people, that we do to us, that we do to people around us. When we speak, when we, like, this is what he says, to go clean. That's why the priest had to go and wash his hands before he would go and touch the sacrifice. He had to wash off. This is kind of spiritually, this is what happens. A lot of times you can't come to the sacrifice of Jesus because your hands actually dirty. So I want to kind of like tell you about just a couple things about humility. Humility, a lot of times we think, and it's not what we think sometimes, it's not, you know, lack of aggression or being like shy or low self-assertion. It's not that. It's not thinking less of yourself, because actually humble people, you know who you are. You know your value in God's eyes, and you know your identity in Christ. Humble people, this is not like you know, thinking less of yourself. It's actually the opposite. You thinking is thinking of myself less, you know. I want you guys to catch the difference. The English language, it actually sounds the same, but can have two different meanings. When it's not, I'm thinking less of myself, of who I am. But it's thinking of myself less. I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about you. I don't care about myself. That's what I mean. But it's not like I don't know who I am, you know, identity-wise. So that's, I think, humble people, they actually very courageous because they know who they are. I don't care if you're going to stand up here and tell me, oh, you this, oh, you this, oh, you know what, you don't know how to do this. You know, I know who I am. That's why humble people will come, hug, forgive, and say, hey, thank you. I actually, this is something you said that I'm just going to think about it. Maybe there is something, you know, this is what humble people do. They all of a sudden, you don't become my enemy, right? But prideful people, pride makes you, oh, it's me, how? I am the pastor, how dare you talk to me like this? I'm right now, you know that I have the the ability to call down the powers from heaven and like devil make your life miserable, but I'm not gonna do that because I love you. No. I mean, there is a lot of people like this. We see them every day. They're like, you listen to some people, they're like, oh, but I'm humble. That's why for humble person it's easy to forgive. Because I don't care what you think of me. I know who I am. Because humility comes, courage comes, forgiving comes. It's when you have lack of self-concentration. When you have lack of self-concentration, you don't concentrate on yourself. That's when, this is where, how you can tell. The proud person who doesn't have this on the inside is always feeling offended, always feeling I'm not getting my rights. What will happen to me now? That's why proud people are not courageous, not forgiving, always having meltdowns on how people are treating them. And humble people are kind. There is poise, there is patience. You only confront when it's necessary. Do you see the difference? Let's run a quick test. I have a test. Let's run a scan, like a doctor. You came to the doctor. And I want you guys just in your head, I'm almost done, just pay a little bit more attention. I know maybe I'm giving a lot of information, but this is all the time I have to the whole week. And then I don't, there is no way I can talk to you. You don't even realize how much I would want it to share and would want it, but it just, you know, it's just not possible. So bear with me. I know maybe it's hot, maybe it's not comfortable, but come on, let's go through all this together. Let's not be like those Israelites, you know, it's so hot now, no AC, oh, that's it, you know, Holy Spirit left. Let's not be those grumpy people. Otherwise, we're going to be circling around this mountain again and again. Yeah, I know toilets sometimes flood. Sometimes we see this shit coming through this, like, you know, like, and you're like, what is this? But there is shit. There is, that's literally what it is. That's not, when you call somebody, you know, or something, that may be bad, but that's just calling for what it is. When it's flowing down the hallway, you can sometimes see it coming. Amen. You know? And you're like, God. But you know what? A lot of times, I don't know, the presence of God is so sweet. It's so, like, it smells so good when he... Well, at least this topic is going to get remembered. At least I accomplished something maybe today. Got your attention now. But let's run a test. Let's run a test. You want to run a test? Okay. We're going to separate this in half. So if it speaks to you on the pride, you go to the left. And if it's humble, you go on the right. Mess. I'm joking. But that's kind of what you're going to do in your heart or in your head. Okay? This is going to be so much fun. So much fun. So, this is a test. If you have pride, or if you have humility. So, pride makes you more aware of others' faults than you are of your own. But humility makes you to be more aware of your own faults than others. Okay. This was number one. Number two. Pride gives you some contempt when you speak of others' faults. But the humble person, when he speaks of others' faults, he does it with grief and mercy. Number three, pride quickly separates you from people who criticize you. You avoid them, but humility makes you stick with people and you don't give up on them. A proud person is dogmatic about any point of belief. Proud people cannot distinguish between major and minor points of beliefs. For a proud person, everything is major. A proud person likes to confront because you like winning, or you don't like to confront because you don't want controversy. But a humble person confronts necessarily. If you do it too much or hate doing it, it's pride. Humble people confront when it's necessary. A proud person is often unhappy or feels sorry for himself because they are so sure how the life is supposed to go and that they deserve a good life. But a humble person think, I don't deserve a good life, and I am only living by God's grace, and I don't know what's best for me. And as a result, humble people don't have self-pity at all. Humble people speak kindly of others' faults. They are not out to win, but to heal. They are not grumpy about their life, not complaining. So I want you guys to see the community killer. I want you to see, you know, and because this is spiritual pride. I'm not talking about pride when your kid comes to you and says, Daddy, look what I did. And you say, whoa, he did something awesome. And it makes you proud. That's good. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this, what drives you in life. This is me-centeredness. Self-obsession. This is the root of all evil. That's why God goes against it so he can rip out of you that. But that only when you come and you humble, like James said, humble yourselves before God. Humble, that means you come, say, God, I am the worst of the worst. I'm the worst of the worst. I don't know if you never had that experience with God. This is how you actually start walking with Him. Another thing, you know, what's been pride. A lot of times, people struggle with low self-esteem. You know, the low self-esteem is the same thing as pride. Same thing. When people, because it's all, they're always, you know, down on themselves. They always feeling guilty. They always, you know, like looking bad. And it's all about me. It's again, all about me. This pride can work both ways. It can, people, you can have the quietest person in the room and see, but he can struggle with the most, he had the most prideful heart. And sometimes you see the one who is like, you know, open, you know, speaks up, and you think, oh, maybe he's, you know, he's too boastful. He's too like aggressive. No, he can have the humblest heart, but he can just speak the truth. But inside, it's just how you treat others around you. So if you self-centered, if it's all about you, this is what I'm trying to, and I know, you know, this is what I'm doing today. This is what I want us, God, to just open to us. So how do we get out of this? How do we get humility? I already mentioned, by knowing the enormity of God's love, how big it is. And the other one, very important one, guys, the upside down principle of the kingdom of God. The upside down principle. That's the will of God. This is how things run in the kingdom of God. If you want to be the first, you the last. If you want to be, who wants to be important becomes the servant. If you want to gain your life, you need to die. You need to give it away. You need to forget about yourself. This is the principle. You can't manipulate it. You know, this is just how God said it. Okay, this is how it's gonna be. And you can pray your hearts out, but it's nothing's gonna change because this is how God said and this is how things work. You either take it or leave it. You can't just, you know, just like, oh, you know, I'm just gonna come to God and He's gonna just, you know, sweep everything under the rug and then just do it again. It's okay, it's okay. No, it's a principle. It's how things run, operate in the world. You can't change it. So there is the will of God and there is these. So remember the upside down principle of the kingdom of God. This is how you get humility. This is how, if a problem comes, if something happens, you becoming a servant, you becoming the lowest, you becoming the last. And that's how things work in the kingdom of God. That's how. Otherwise, we just, you know, we're missing the point. Because this is how it's in the heart of the universe. You can't change it. First will be last. He who finds his life will lose it. You lay down your life before God. If you lay down your life for people, you die to your own power, your own control, and you will get your life back. But if you hold on to your power, if you hold on to your safety, if you don't want to serve other people, your heart is my life for me. And that's pride at the root of it. Maybe you guys never seen it like this, but this is how it is. And you'll end up to be just like Satan, and your life will be just like hell. Because you're going to pick yourself. And then it's not going to work. You're going to have, with God, the way up is down. The way to have true power is to give it away and serve. So just look at this culture. It's very easy to discern. Look at this world, how this world acts, and you do the opposite. You do the opposite. That's what means counter something, counter culture. To act in opposition, to disagree with it, to resist it. And I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to put Jesus as an example in Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. This is what Jesus did. Those of us who are strong and strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter. And not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. And quotation from the scripture, I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way the scripture puts it. Even if it was written in scripture long ago, you can be sure it is written for us. God wants the combination of His steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel. God wants the combination of His steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in scripture to come to characterize us. keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then we'll be a chore, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and the Father of our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. How now you do it. So, today, you know, on the, do you guys remember what was the verse of the day today? Peacemakers. You are blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. Amen. On this, I'll say amen. So I know. Let's stand up. And let's just finish this service with prayer. And maybe, you know, this is more like for the church, you know, for the culture of the church, for how, but it's also on a personal level, you know. A lot of times we struggle with things that we not supposed to struggle, but we, the only way, say, just humbling yourself before God. Just coming to Him. Just telling Him, Jesus, I really need your help. I'm tired. Up, but you know what? You actually need to give up, but you need to give up on yourself. Give up on all your, what you think is right, what you think how things are supposed to be. You just need to give up on all that and just let it all to God and let Him. His kingdom. Tell Him, Jesus, take me to the kingdom of the Father. Take me. Lead me. Because I know in your kingdom it's peace, it's love, it's harmony. Because when your kingdom comes, come free on the inside. Father, I bless everyone in this place, everyone in this room. And may this word just go through their minds. May this word just go through their hearts and does its work. What your word does, it brings life. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.